Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
So good to see you. Wow, it's lovely summer. It's nice to see all the flowers and the Hawaii shirts and the colors and the people smiling and happy. God's good. I love summer. Do you? It's a wonderful time of fruitfulness. And let's trust that it lasts long. And even in our hearts, there's just let there be summer in our hearts because the sun has risen. And he's good. He's wonderful. Who loves Jesus? Just seeing who I've got here. We absolutely love Jesus. He's everything. He's the reason we worship. He gave us the breath that we have. We've been singing those songs. And the right thing to do in view of him is to give it all back to him. You know, can you imagine seeing Jesus? We're going to see him. You might see him spiritually now. But when we actually see him with our own eyes, can you imagine that day? How incredible it'll be that all this makes sense. And everything that he said he is, he is. And everything that he said he does, he would have done. And it would have been accomplished. And he's faithful. Isn't that wonderful? So, let me turn in my Bible, please. There's a lovely scripture in Job. The back end of Job. It's the last chapter of the book of Job. It's just before Psalms. Like Kanye West in his one song, he says he thought it was Job. And when you read about your job, you sometimes feel like Job did in your job, but don't worry. Jesus can turn everything around. And I love this confession of Job's. It says in Job 42:1, and Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Isn't that amazing? And every intention that God has for creation from start to finish, From the time he breathed out light to the time he made us, to the time that there was the fall and there was the kind of selecting of Israel as a nation to be a blessing to all nations. Eventually, it's Jesus Christ through that nation which becomes the blessing to every nation. And all nations are accepted and are pleasing in his sight through faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus has started and put his spirit, the same spirit that was in him, into his church. And the church is continuing to do the things that Jesus has planned from the beginning. Don't you think it's incredible that God relies on us to get his plans done? And he knows that his plans will get done. And we might think, gee, perhaps his plans are not going to be fulfilled because we actually can make any choice we like. But I tell you what, every time he reveals his love to you, there's only one choice for you, is to do what he wants. And as we do that, the more he expresses his love, the more he gets it done through us. And we're going to stand on that day when he returns, and there he is, and we see his glory and his beauty, and everything that he planned would have been accomplished completely, and yet he used us somehow in it. We had a free choice, and we got to make it, but it accomplished his task. Isn't that awesome? I want to be on that day when the saints go marching in. I want to get and break into a Spurs song now, but anyway, no soccer for a moment, but there's... that day when we see Jesus and all that he's done, folk, live with that in your heart. Live with that in your mind. That is the vision of all visions. That is the vision that hasn't changed. That is the vision that Jesus saw when he went to the cross. And for the joy in his heart, seeing what would be accomplished, he went to that cross. And yes, the cross was painful, but he had joy in his heart. Because he knew that the pain that he was suffering was worth it to accomplish that vision and that goal of every one of us standing before him. And all that he said he would do, he's done. Remember his last words is this, I am making everything new. Wow, I'm restoring everything. Isn't it wonderful to be a part of something that wins? Isn't it wonderful? That's the victory we have when we sing these songs, when we worship him. That's why we can sing, sing, sing. Job says, now I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. So I want to talk a little bit about vision for next year. This is the last big church meeting where everyone's still around, because I know the schools are breaking up in this coming week. And Friday is the holidays, and a whole lot of people kind of go early on, and a whole lot of people go from the 16th onward, and some of you I'm not going to see again until January. And so this is a great opportunity as we've finished off preaching through the book of Luke and studying the life of Jesus and the works of Jesus and this incredible superhero of a man, just a down-to-earth, incredible man, yet he loves people. And can you remember in the first term how we looked at the Savior of the world, and I had my doctor's little outfit on and a red cross, and we had red crosses everywhere. Because really, you know, ambulances are great when there's an accident, but Jesus is great for eternity. You know, he saves us, he's the healer, he's the doctor, he's the ultimate fixer of everything, and he's the one you want in the ward when things are not so hot in your body, and he's the one who you want in the ward when things are not so hot in your soul, because Jesus is a healer. And we saw him heal everything, any kind of sickness, disease, to the point of death, raise the dead, open blind eyes. Jesus, incredible. And can you remember then, as we went through winter, we got into the deep trenches with Jesus as he started to talk to us about the attitudes of our own heart. And we had the Wanderlust series. And the Wanderlust is not some bad word, don't worry. It's this deep desire to travel. And there's a deep desire inside of Jesus to carry the wonderful love and the fixing up of everything to every single person on the earth. But the way that Jesus is going to do it is through his people. And you know, if Jesus is going to touch the person next to you, guess what? He's going to use your hand. Won't you reach over and touch the person's shoulder next to you? I love doing this. If the person doesn't have a shoulder or you don't have a hand, we'll have to pray for you anyway. sorry. It's a dwarf joke. I sometimes say stupid things and then I repent later and God's okay with it. So I hope you're okay with it. But there's, if someone's going to get the love of Jesus, it's got to be on your fingertips, right? And if he's in you, he's going to express himself through you, and he's going to reach out and he's going to touch others through your hands. And so we can't have the power and the wonderful presence of Jesus, which can change everything, but are people who are not like him. Because this, unfortunately, is the problem that most of the world has had with Christianity. Most of the world say we're hypocrites. Oh, you sing one thing, you say one thing, but you don't do another. Let me ask this question. Is anybody perfect? No. Is everybody being completed in Christ? It's a wonderful thing to know that we're on a journey and not everyone has arrived. The minute someone says they're arrived, everyone knows they haven't arrived. So there's this wonderful thing that happens as the Spirit of God saves us and sets us free and puts us, links us to the throne of Jesus. So that's your justification. There's no way that God and sinners can be on the same throne. And so through the blood and the death of Jesus, he washes us, and that's what links us to that holy throne that angels shudder to even look at. We get linked to that throne through his forgiveness of us. Isn't that amazing? And you get linked there forever as an anchor for your soul. And from that place, the Spirit of God starts to do a work in us. So we're in Christ on the throne, but his Spirit is in us on the earth. And he's transforming us, and he's making us like himself. And as he's changing our hearts and lives, that's what gives us the kind of ethical motivation and the ethical authority to allow the power of God to flow through us and to touch people. You see, if you just keep on sinning, Jesus wants his name to be exalted. But if you just keep on sinning, it's hard for him to bring his power through you. Because his power through you will look like him. But what you do needs to look like him. So that when the two are in agreement, there's a whole lot more that can happen. And so we don't just get saved and then don't, we're linked to the throne, carry on with my life the way it was. There's got to be this deep desire to have, he's taken us in our sin and put us with himself. There's got to be this deep desire for us to take his Spirit in us and let it flow through our lives. And when his Spirit flows through our lives, it's going to be the gifts and the love and the peace and the joy and all those things. And the Spirit's amazing, folk. Because when you get it wrong, he's there to say, Brad, you said something, you did something, you shouldn't look at that, you shouldn't touch that, whatever. And the Spirit is just amazing, guiding us, leading us. Even if you fall, he's there to cleanse us and to wash us. And if you stay in that moment where you are experiencing his washing and that kind of river that is flowing, I tell you what, with it can come all the power that God wants to use in everybody else's life. And so the way we live is important. Amen? What we say is important. Let's preach the gospel. We have to tell people about Jesus. How will they be saved unless they hear? No, not just unless they feel, unless they hear. So it has to be spoken. It has to be believed in. It's a message. It's a gospel. It's news. It has to be declared. How will they know unless we say something? But how will they want to know unless they see our feet? And they see the way we walk. Because how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How holy, how righteous. Look at the way these people live. Look at the way these people treat others. Look at the way these people go. When we see those kind of feet, we're interested in the message. Because the way they walk and the way they love opens the ears so that the gospel can come in. Is that cool? So we can't just say something and live something else. And then there's obviously the fact that Jesus is going to return. And this is what he was telling his believers right up to the end of Luke. He said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. And some people in this world have said they'll die and rise again, and they haven't. But Jesus said he would die and rise again, and he did. And that's what makes all the difference. What makes it a sinful, messed up, selfish, greedy, drunkard, coke-snorting, weed-smoking kid change overnight? After a dream of a light, and the next morning the gospel is preached, and I accept him and change. How is it possible that a fairy tale could change a person who really wants to drink and really wants to smoke and really wants to do those things? How is it possible that someone can be turned around in an instant? Because Jesus Christ is alive, and he does heal lives, and he does change our lives, and he wants to do it with so many more people. For 2,000 years he's been doing it, and he wants to keep doing it. Amen. And you know, that's just my testimony. You know what's happened in your life. Can you deny that he's real? Can you deny his love in your life? Can you deny his truth? I tell you what, it's an incredible, incredible thing. So we're looking forward. And have you heard of this thing called 2020 vision? It's obvious. It's a vision for the year 2020. But 2020 vision is a kind of a fraction of the testing of the clarity or the acuity of your vision. So the clarity of your vision, if your vision is very clear, it's 20/20. The 20 above the line is your ability to see into the distance and to see close. And then the 20 under the line is your ability to see small things and see big things. Isn't that interesting? So I'm going to use those things, because remember, whenever we've gone for an eye test, they put like the big E, and everyone can see that one. And then you try and memorize them before you walk in. As you walk past the thing, you're like, E-F-G-K-L, E-F-G-K-L. And the lady asks you, what number? E. She says, no, the other one. J. Oh, I don't know. I've got good eyesight, but I don't know what it's like for people who have glasses. But it must be a wonderful thing when you can suddenly see clearly again. You know, so the eye test is going to prove our vision, but Jesus wants to give us vision for 2020. And 2020 vision is going to be vision that is going to entail those four things. We need to be able to see far. We need to be able to see close. We need to be able to see small. And we need to be able to see large. And I'd like to link each of those to the four kind of cardinal main pointers for us as a church. We believe that the Word of God is an absolute must, that the Bible preached, the Bible lived by, the Bible loved, the Bible and everything that it points to is all about Jesus Christ. We don't know who Jesus is unless we find him in the Scriptures, because the Word became flesh, and the flesh dwelt among us, and his name is Jesus. And if we study the Word of God, we have him as the goal and the center of all the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, if you could read it in one sitting, you're going to find out that this Jesus is the highlight of everything that takes place in the Word. And so the Word of God for me is important. It's the far aspect, and I'm going to touch on that shortly. The Spirit of God is so important to us, folk. I mean, the Spirit of God is who Jesus died for us to have. Jesus went to the cross to make unholy people holy so that the Holy Spirit could dwell in us and among us. And we're not a people who are longing for God at a distance, on a mountain, in a temple, behind a curtain. Because when Jesus died, it says the curtain was torn. And the sacrifices that were all trying to get one high priest into that holy place once a year just for Israel, that thing had broken open. And Jesus became the sacrifice
That opened up the whole way into the Holy of Holies. And in fact, it didn't just open up the way into the Holy of Holies. God came out. And he was happy to come out because the blood of his son had been shed for the whole world. Isn't that amazing? And so when Jesus did that, he made us holy by his blood so that the Holy Spirit could live in us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And he dwells in us. God does not stay in a temple made by human hands. God stays in these temples, this temple that he's designed and bought with his own blood. Isn't that beautiful? And so the Spirit of God is something that Jesus valued for us to have. And so we've got to value having the Spirit of God in our lives. Folk, how many of you know every decision you need to make for the rest of your lives? No. How many of you know what a particular person is feeling as they're going through some difficulty every time? No. How many of you know exactly what God's thinking all the time? No. But the Spirit of God is the one that can lead us and guide us, because the Spirit of God knows all things, searches all things. I'm going to touch on a scripture there shortly. And then there's this wonderful thing called the community of God. What is Jesus and his Spirit without his people? Now, I know that some of you would be quite happy if it was Jesus and the Spirit and no people. Or just me, myself, and us four, whatever. For me, it's a bit different. It's six. And many people would be like, as long as I got Jesus and myself, that's it. But I tell you what, God is coming for a people. God is coming for a community who love each other. I want to tell you, folk, community. The things that I've learned from Ian Dornan, the things that he's challenged me with in my own life, the things that Reza said that has made me think about God and his glory, not her glory. The things that Tony has done in his life that is a lesson to me. The things that many of you go through and experience, even the difficulties that you succeed in, I learn from those things. And when I go through difficulties, I've got people that I never even thought to call standing alongside me, helping me get through it. I tell you what, there's nothing like the people of God. That's who Jesus loved. That's who Jesus saved. That's who Jesus uses. That's who Jesus is coming back for, his people. If you have a problem with the people, then perhaps you've got a problem with Jesus. Because every time you're okay with Jesus, you're okay with people. And if you find you've had a problem with people, then go back to Jesus and say, God, help me find out whether you've got a problem with them. And if you don't, then I don't need to have one. Hello? And generally, he doesn't have a problem because he died for them. And he says, Brad, forgive them. Sorry, Lord. How must I forgive them, Lord? Like I did, Brad. How many times must I forgive them? I know. 77 times 7. That's an incredible thing. And the people of God, you know, when we travel together, when we journey together, when you've got fellowship, that's not just on the negative sense, on the positive thing sense, when there's people around you, when you celebrate. I mean, I don't want to do things without my wife. That's the smallest part of community that God set up within a marriage. And I don't want my wife and I to do things without my children. We want our children around us to experience this life together. And we don't want just our family to be the family that experiences all the goodness of God. We want the families of God together to experience it. And not just the families of God, all those families who are battling without God. That's why we want to do what we do together, so we can see them set free. All families of the earth shall be blessed through you, is the promise that God said to Abraham. When he called him out and he said, come, I will bless you and you'll be a blessing and all families of the earth will be blessed by you. Isn't that amazing? And then there's this wonderful thing called the mission. So let me touch on each of them. We've got to do something. We're not just a holy huddle hiding away from the dark, dirty world. Let's be a Christian fellowship that hides away from the bad people. No, the bad people are here, and I'm joking. The bad people are here. They're forgiven. Jesus loves them. You know, nobody's good, nobody's bad. There's people who believe in him and people who don't. And the people who believe in him have got an upper hand. So let's go reach those who don't. And so there's a mission. There's something we have to do. We've got to break out of these walls. We break walls regularly. I don't know if you noticed the kids' ministry, we broke the walls down. If you see that wall over there, just mark my words. But the point is, we want to break out. We've got to get out. We've got to, this message, this life, this love, this family, all of these things that have been given to us has to get out. Psalm 119, verse 105, the word, the four elements of the 2020 vision. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There's a powerful account of Jesus in Mark chapter 8 where
a blind man comes up to Jesus. I think it's the one where this man begs Jesus to heal him. And Jesus places his hands on him and takes away his hands, and the man can see, but he can only see what he says is like people like trees running around. It's quite strange, eh? He says, I see people, but they're like trees running around. And then Jesus lays his hands on his eyes again, and then he sees clearly, and he's got 20/20 vision. And some people have taken that to mean, you see, even Jesus failed. We need to also pray twice sometimes. I don't think that's the case. I don't think Jesus fails. If our default is Jesus doesn't fail, then let's figure out what Jesus is actually doing. I believe what Jesus was doing was open the man's spiritual eyes so that he could see something of what people should be. And if he's seeing trees walking around, doesn't it say this? Blessed are those who are like a tree planted by streams of living water. And they become fruitful, even into old age. And so I believe God was opening his eyes to see something of what people are like. They're like trees, but they're walking around. Where should they be? They should be planted in him. And then he prays for him again, and he opens his eyes physically, and he can see clearly. And it's a beautiful picture, because the very next account, Mark is intentional as he brings this into the context. The very next account, Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And the disciples say, he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And the people say, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say this, some say that." And then he looks at Peter and he says to him, "Who do you say that I am, Peter?" And Peter says those infamous words, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Peter, because this was not revealed to you by man. This was a revelation from the Father." Isn't that amazing? So on the one hand, people are looking at Jesus and seeing Jesus like a tree walking around. They've got an unclear view of who Jesus is. He is not just John the Baptist or a Jeremiah or some other prophet. He's actually something far more important than that. And the revelation comes to Peter as the Father opens his eyes and he can see, this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have to be able to see deeper. We have to be able to have our eyes open deeper. And so there's a far-reaching element to the Word of God. The 2020 aspects of the far-reaching thing is when you know who Jesus is and when you can see who Jesus is, you know that he's conquered death. It says this, those who believe in Jesus will never see death. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's a vision that gets excluded from your entire life. You will never see death if you believe in Jesus. In other words, the day you die, instantly, boom, you're in front of him. That's wonderful. I'm not afraid of that. Who's afraid to see Jesus when they die? You have to believe in him. If you don't believe in him, then you will be afraid to see him. Or you'll be afraid of whatever comes. Maybe you won't even see him forever. You'll see him as the judge, but we want to see him as the Savior and as the Lord. So now's the day for our eyes to be opened. The far-reaching effect of the Word of God being about Jesus and seeing who Jesus is, it affects my eternity. That's far. And so may our 2020 vision open our eyes to see Christ, to see his gospel, to see his word, and to see people come into eternity for that sake. But secondly, the far and the near. To be nearsighted is to be able to see things up close, to be able to see things that where there's detail. And this I liken to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God gives a sense of closeness. You know, we don't want a God that feels far away. You know, you can read the Bible and sometimes feel like God's far away. But it's when the Spirit of God is there that you can feel that closeness. When you can sense him, who sensed him in the meeting this morning? Who senses him right now? The Spirit of God is so near, so close, closer than your skin. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He's right there. He's, in fact, if he's in you, he's knocking on the door to get out. Not because he wants to run away, because he wants to reach out and touch people. But the Spirit of God is so, so close to us. R.T. Kendall talks about the Spirit of God being like a dove, not like a pigeon. A pigeon is, I hate pigeons. I don't know why. If any of you like pigeons, you'll be offended by what I say. But they're like rats with wings on them. And they've got these bugs that live in them. And they poop everywhere and they make a noise. I hate pigeons. But doves, I love doves. Doves are amazing. And a dove, you just go, and the thing flies away. But a pigeon, you can like almost shake it off your finger and it just holds on. Ah, I'm going to mess around with you. The dove, when the Spirit of God is like a dove, he comes gently. And you can sense his presence. And you don't want to,
You don't want to offend the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not a sensitive little child, but the Spirit of God is sensitive. And there's something of the anointing of God that increases as we are sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants. As we get closer to Him, He gets closer to us. As we draw close to Him, He draws close to us. And we start to feel His emotion. And the Spirit of God can be grieved. The Spirit of God can be, if you're lying, or if you're doing something, the Spirit of God almost in a sense retracts. He never leaves you, never forsakes you, but He's a power and ability to do something through your life, draws back as you start to do the wrong things. So if you sow to the flesh, you reap destruction, even in this life. But if you sow to the Spirit, you reap everlasting life and life in your life at the moment. So look at this, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 16. As it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things, so no eye has seen it, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared, but these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us. And we impart these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that amazing? So the Spirit, who knows the very intentions and emotions and thoughts and feelings of God, has been given to us so that we can know the thoughts and intentions of the mind in Christ, of the mind of Christ. It's been given to us. And so when you know the closeness of the Spirit in your life, when you're talking to the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is talking to you, you're starting to get the detail and the nearness of every single thing that needs to take place. Is that cool? The community. So seeing small and seeing big. The community. It's not so much a small thing, but I want to bring this element. Every one of us, no matter how small, can play a part in the things of God. Don't look at someone and say they're too small to be used by God. Don't look at the children and say they're too small to be used by God. In fact, in your humility, when you make yourself small, you're of more use to God than when you try to be big. And in fact, in the presence of God, you stand in awe of Him and you realize that you're but a worm and He is a great and awesome God. And when you have a small, sober-minded appreciation of yourself, I'm not saying make yourself insignificant, but when you allow yourself to have a sober understanding of who you are, you're not the biggest thing in the world. Sorry to tell you. But there is one who's big and He uses us. And when we make ourselves available, no matter how small, I mean, who is particularly clever or particularly rich or particularly noble? None of us. God doesn't use those. He uses ordinary fishermen, someone who in the world is considered as nothing. Oh, that's a small job. Oh, those car guards, oh, they're small. Oh, the sweeper, oh, he's small. I tell you what, God uses the small. He uses the small big time. And so let's trust God to use us. Listen to this, Isaiah 60, verse 21 to 22. Your people shall be righteous, shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, a branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. It is time. I will hasten it. Folk. In the context of Europe, this is a big church. This is a huge church. The average size is 50 people in the church. That's a big church in Europe. I mean, if you've got 20 people, after 20 years, you're considered a mega church. And we sometimes think we're small. It's all relative. But I tell you what, the smallest among us is going to become the greatest. God wants to do incredible things through us. John the Baptist said this, he must increase, I must decrease. How does community work? Community works when you consider someone else bigger than you. When you consider serving someone else as more important than serving yourself. When you make yourself small and you make others big. Even in your marriage, guys, I'm telling you now. Husband and wife, when you try to make yourself big, and the other one's bigger and bigger, and then you're headbutting and all this kind of stuff ends in divorce. But the minute somebody makes himself small, ladies, Sharissa, she's amazing. 16 years of marriage. and I tell you what, many times she's made me small, but I'm grateful for it. She's a big, wonderful influence in my life and in everyone's life. But she's willing to make herself small so many times. I tell you what, guys, when you're willing to make yourself small, God can do big things with people. And so, the last thing is the mission. So we need to not just see small, but we need to see big. And the purposes that God has for every single one of your lives are way bigger than you realize. I've got this poster that Sharissa put up for me in my study. It says, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. And I'll tell you what Jesus wants to do in every single one of our lives is far greater than we could ever believe. If he had to even reveal it to us, we'd back out. We'd, hang on, it's too much, Lord. It's too much of a sacrifice. It's too much of an offering. It's too much of my life. It's too much effort. It's too much training. It's too much I've got to learn and go through. There's too many things. But I tell you what, I want you to know this, that whatever he's got for you is very big. And it all fits into the context of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus is resurrected. He's with his disciples before he goes to the throne because they are going to be the ones to operate in everything that needs to happen from here on in. And in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it says this, Jesus came to them and he said, all authority. Can someone say all? Is there any authority Jesus has got no say on? All authority has in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In heaven and on earth. That means even the Father, for a time, has said, Jesus, it's all yours. And there's a time where Jesus says he's going to give it all back to the Father. But in the meantime, all authority belongs to Jesus. Again, let me remind you, when you sing or say that name, Jesus, death bows down on the ground. Do you know who you have in you? Do you know who you walk with? Do you know who you're talking to? He has all authority. And so if he asks you something, it's greater than if the president came to your house and begged you a favor. And dare Jesus have to beg us for the things that he's asking us if he has all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That means over demons, over angels, over nations, over every part of history. Go therefore. If all authority was telling us to do something, perhaps we should listen. Would you agree? If I told you today, the highest authority, the biggest signature that can be signed on the biggest piece of paper with the highest authority, the biggest gold stamp and seal and everything is given to you today. Here it is. It's exactly there. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. If we don't do that, we disobey all authority. If we do that, we obey all authority. If we do that, we're not going to get just his authority, but all his power, all his backing, all his everything that he has, he's going to put behind us. Because he doesn't say do it and then leave us. Go and make disciples of all nations, not just Israel, not just others. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let them know how close I can be to them. You can be so into the Father, so into the Son, so into the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be baptized. It's not just, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three little sprinkles, drops of water, down, you're finished. No, it's I'm so into the Father, he's so into me. I'm so into the Son, he's into me. I'm so into the Spirit, he's into me. And then it says this, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. When you're small enough to be taught by Jesus, you become his disciple. And behold, look at the promise, I'm with you, I'm near, always, till the far-reaching ends of the earth.
in this commission, we as a church want to take it seriously. We want to do whatever we can to bring the far-reaching effects of Jesus, the closeness of His Spirit, the smallness of people gathering together in His name. Doesn't matter if you've got a group of 5 or 10 or 20, because everyone can be used by Him. And what's the goal? To see the bigness of His plans and purposes accomplished, because nothing can be thwarted. He can do all things. And so, there's three things that Jesus said that I want to kind of keep as a hashtag for 2020. Fish to flock. Hashtag fish to flock. You see, Jesus said three things. He said, I will make you fishers of men. So if you're surrendering your life to Jesus, He will make you a fisherman. Now, I know Ian Fenton has surrendered his life to Jesus big time, because he is a keen fisherman. And if you talk to him, he's got a trip planned for you to hide in the wall. All you got to do is give your name to him. But there's something that Jesus does. If you spend time with Ian, you'll end up catching fish. But if you spend time with Jesus, He makes you a fisher of men. He makes you want to reach others. He makes you want to get them in. So there's fish who need Jesus. And then Jesus said this. He says, and I will build my church. I will build my church. And so in 2020, we've got Jesus' vision for us that He said He's going to build the church. We're just getting on with what He wants us to do. We partner with Him to fulfill His vision. So this is not a new vision for 2020 that is like suddenly wonderful for the rest of, you know, that year and it's new to the world. It's the same vision that Jesus had all along. He said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. But then He says this to us. He says, you go and make disciples. He'll make us fishermen. He'll build the church with us. What do we need to do? He has His part. We have ours. Make disciples. Fish to flock. And the flock of God is His people that He loves. We've ended off the book of Luke. So in 2020, I have the wonderful excitement to tell you that we're going to be studying the book of Acts. The book of Acts is incredible because it entails all these things. There's the witness of the word, which is far-reaching. And you see the preaching of the gospel right throughout the book of Acts. You see the Spirit of God poured out, the nearness of God to His people poured out in the book of Acts on numerous occasions, the Spirit of God awakening His people for the things that He's called. You see this small group of this community in Jerusalem start with 120 people in the upper room, become 3,000 people overnight. They divide themselves into their own homes and temples and meet together regularly. And it's almost like the smallness of that thing starts to break out. And before you get to chapter 28, this gospel has been preached all around the world. And Paul makes it his goal to get to Rome. And when he gets there, he's actually fulfilling the mission of God from start to finish. Because Jesus said this in Acts 1 verse 8. He says, you will be my witnesses. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is fulfilling His task, folk. We want to partner with Him. We want to do what He wants. And we're going to step into the things that He has for us. So, term one, we're going to look at partnering with power. There's the promise of God's power. There's Pentecost and power. There's the power that breaks out into the public. There's the pressure of not succumbing to the world, but pleasing God. There's the panic of those who fear God and do not fear attack. There's the priorities that are the setting of deacons and leaders. There's the persecution of the church that rises up, but there's the continued preaching and proclamation of this gospel with power to the ends of chapter 8. So that's going to be term one. Excited? Who wants to see power partnered with in 2020? In the middle of the year, we're going to look at the courageous church. And the courageous church, we see this conversion of Paul in chapter 9 and how the church rallies to surround him, initially a bit suspect, but then as Jesus shows Himself true to them through him, they accept him in. You see Cornelius and his household, the Gentiles included into the church. You see them being called Christians and this gospel spreads to Antioch and to churches further on. There's the convicts who are put into prison for being Christians, but there are those who will not honor God and Herod dies. There's the called and the multicultural church of people that are called out with giftings and sent. There's the continuing church. Even when Paul is stoned, he stands up again and goes back into the city that tried to get rid of him. There's the council, which preaches the cleansing of the church. And then there's the citizens of heaven and the city on a hill as this beautiful church in Philippi starts off with a fortune teller, a businesswoman,
and a warden who's suicidal. And that becomes the church of Philippi. And Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, you guys are amazing. And then as we go on in the rest of the year, we want to tell you this. Well, I sense God saying this. Your part in the story is so important. So the last term, we're going to look at my story in his story. And every one of you have got a part to play. And we want to hear your testimonies. We want to hear what God has done for you. Because in this section, Paul shares his testimony on two occasions. And it almost follows, it moves from the power of God to the churches to Paul. And it focuses on the life of Paul as he moves towards Rome. And I want to highlight for every single one of us that God's got a plan for us, that his power is there, that his church is there, but he's got a purpose for every single one of our lives. And if it could use a Paul, it could use you and I. We'll look at the authority in our lives, the apostolic, the anointing, being accountable, being arrested by Jesus and the Holy Spirit and by those who want to resist us, the appointed times. There's an ambush that takes place over his life. What do we do? How do we handle attacks when people try to ambush us? There's the accusers dealing with the devil and all those things. There's the appeal, the apologetics. But Paul gets everyone all aboard on a ship that sinks, but everyone's saved. And in chapter 28, we see the Acts of the Great Commission as miracles continue to happen. And Paul is seen still preaching Jesus Christ at the end of the book. Come on. Who's excited for that? Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your plans, which cannot be stopped. I want to thank you, Father God, for the actions that you have made towards us. When we read the book of Acts, we're going to see it's the acts of Jesus. And it's displayed through the acts of the Holy Spirit. But it's released in and through people and the acts of the apostles, resulting in the actions of the kingdom, which haven't stopped till this day. I want to ask you, Holy Spirit, you would prepare this church and all of us here to encounter your power, to become courageous, and then to have you rewrite our stories and to use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.